hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live, reaching every Friday night. All in crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Good to see you, Eric.
Good to see you too, my friend. Very, very happy to be back in the saddle this week. A lot of stuff going on within the world of Nintendo, and really happy to be here with you to break it all down.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff to talk about. It was one of those things where, as the week was kind of going on, it seemed like it was going to be a bit of a slower week. And I was like, you know what? There's like enough fun headlines. Let's just have some fun and let's just hang out a little bit and, and kind of go through it. So should be a good one. But before we get into the news, Eric, we've got some important things to do first.
Yes, incredibly important things to do first. You know, we're going to have a lot of fun sitting here talking about Nintendo headlines and talking about the news and everything. But the people that make the news every week in our hearts.
That's right. We need to shout out our patrons. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. We like to shout them out and thank them at the beginning of our shows. So let's do just that. Big thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch, Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan Hashtag Look to the Cookie, Solo, SAZ, and blah, blah, blah. Big thank you to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can get a 7-day free trial to that tier, join their ranks, and see what all the fuss is about. But moving into our Triforce tier, do you think Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Set Nintendo Hub, and Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, thank you, Shy Guy, Danielina Hosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, the Don Rob, and the legend himself.
The front page leading headline, Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy. Big shout outs to all of our patrons. Again, 7-day free trial, patreon.com/allinpodcast. Exclusive content goes up on there and all kinds of stuff. So big thanks to all of our friends and supporters over there. Another great way to support the show, pick up some merch. If you're watching on YouTube, there's links below. If you watch, listen on the audio feeds, there's links in the description. And a great way to support the show for free. Again, watch on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave comments, listen on the audio feeds. Reviews really help. 5-star ratings on your podcatcher of choice really help there too. Eric, before we get into the news, there's something exciting that is happening next week.
Oh, is there? Pray tell, sir.
Little tiny thing happening next week in exactly 7 days' time. You and I will be sitting here on April 12th at 7 p.m. Eastern for All In Episode 200. That's going to be a thing.
It's like the ring.
Yeah. You have 7 days. 7 days. Until All In Episode 200. So we're doing that live. It's going to be a proper episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast. And yeah, we're celebrating 200 episodes, man. We're going to do it live. And it's going to be super fun. So you're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be next week right here. Same bat channel, same bat time. And we're going to be doing episode 200. We're going to have a top five. We're going to have an indie showcase interview. We're going to have a ton of announcements as well. Maybe even some shadow drops. A lot of stuff to get excited about for the future of All In.
Maybe. It's like, well, you gotta kind of follow through on that promise when you throw out, you know, a maybe like that. So
maybe, yeah.
Maybe. We may have some shadow drops. You may want to tune in for those.
You might want to tune in. And so it's going to be really cool and exciting, but there is a way for you, the community, to get involved with episode 200. You can send in
Seth?
Submissions.
How do we do that?
Send us in some submissions. So in the Discord, I posted about this earlier this week. You can either email it, allinpodcasts@hotmail.com. You can DM it to me, or there's a Google Drive link in the Discord, and you can upload your submissions there too if you want to. Just a video or an audio submission, and what's going to happen is, at the beginning of the show, we will play those. We've already gotten a handful of them, but if you want your voice to be heard, go ahead and throw it in there. Become a part of All In Episode 200, and get me those by the 10th, so I have time to put it all together. But yeah, if you do that, you'll be in the show. And we would love to have you be a part of our episode 200 celebration. So, yeah, just a little bit of housekeeping there. All In episode 200. Get excited. There's a lot.
Feels coming. Like episode 100 was just a few weeks ago. It really does.
Yeah,
man. Absolutely crazy to think about that we've been doing this for this long already. But yeah, 200 episodes, man. I'm excited. We got some exciting stuff to talk about. Don't miss it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But Eric, with that being said, we do have plenty of news to get into this week. So what do you say we get into it?
We do. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. First thing up, let's talk about the Mario RPG franchise. Specifically, Nintendo put out a survey to some people, some lucky people, not me. You know, fun fact, I did get a survey right before we went live, maybe 30 minutes ago. It was not about this. It was about Princess Peach Showtime.
Really? Like, that might have been the one that I got too, because I saw that I got one. I didn't see what it was yet, but yeah.
Probably the same thing. I was like, oh man, I've been chosen. I can yell at Nintendo about Mario RPGs. But no, it was about Princess Peach Showtime. But some lucky few got a survey related to the Mario RPG series. I've got it pulled up on screen right now, just a screenshot of some of the things notated in the survey. A lot of people are latching on to the fact that they're name dropping the Mario and Luigi franchise, which...
Yes.
Like, it's a little bit weird because, you know, Alpha Dream has been dissolved and stuff. We've had some Mario and Luigi stuff relatively recently. Like, we had those 3DS remakes, like Superstar Sagas on GBA NSO and stuff like this. But a lot of people are freaking out that they're even acknowledging the existence of Mario and Luigi.
Well, I mean, obviously, Nintendo's been in this really big kind of Mario RPG pocket for a little while now. Yeah, like you said, we did get the Mario and Luigi plus Bowser's Minions. We did get that 3DS remake. But even just a few months ago, we got the remake of Super Mario RPG itself. And in just a couple months' time, we're going to be getting yet another Super Mario RPG remake in the form of the Thousand Year Door. So it's very clear that Mario's role-playing games have been on Nintendo's mind as of late. And the fact that they're sending out surveys like this, I mean, you don't just randomly send out a survey like this if you're not looking for it to directly inform your future content. And if you're sending out a survey like this, you're not expecting that future content to be an exceedingly far way down the road. So a lot of people have, in addition to latching on to the Mario and Luigi name drop, they've just kind of really started putting on their tinfoil hats and talking about what other Mario RPG content could be coming down the pipeline in the near future, because this is a relatively robust survey. They talk about a lot of the different types of content, what types of, like, even what types of characters people like. Do you like old classic characters like Bowser and Peach? Do you like new interesting characters like Mallow and Geno? Types of mechanics, and they go into the weeds quite a bit with these surveys. And I'm trying not to wear my tinfoil hat too tightly, but I mean, why else? Why else?
Yeah, I mean, you put out a survey like this because you want to take the pulse of your consumers. And I am curious, like, what qualified somebody to be reached out to for this survey. Maybe it's targeting people who, like, didn't play Super Mario RPG or something like that. I don't know. But it's interesting that they focus in, on the sort of weeds, on the nuts and bolts, like you mentioned. They're specifically asking about, like, combat systems. They even name drop Super Paper Mario. Do you like a real-time combat system like Super Paper Mario? Do you like a little puzzle in your combat like Origami King? I mean, they really want to find out what it is that people like about Mario RPGs. And yeah, it's hard not to feel like, I mean, if you look at, we got Super Mario RPG fully remade last November, and then just like 7 months later in May here, you know, just like a month and change away from the moment we're recording this right now, we're getting a remaster of the Thousand Year Door. So it's clear that the Nintendo is like thinking about Mario RPGs in a serious way of like, is this a viable thing? And I have to imagine, like, Super Mario RPG sold well. It did like 3.5 million copies. So, like, it was nothing to sneeze at. And Thousand Year Door is probably going to sell pretty well, too. And I feel like, you know, the main reason I wanted to highlight this on the show this week is, like, y'all, if this is something you care about, you need to put your money where your mouth is. You need to support this stuff and tell Nintendo, because it's obvious that Nintendo has the feelers out. Nintendo's like, oh, we're actually thinking about this. We're taking the pulse. We want to see what people want. So tell them, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder how aware, I wonder how much of, you know, kind of the Paper Mario likes and the you know, the indie games out there that are taking clear inspiration from Mario's RPGs, you know, the Everlasting Sapling, you know, as unfortunate as it was, Con Radical Games' previous game, The Outbound Ghost. But there are a lot of really cool, really interesting games out there that have kind of since taken up the baton, like if Nintendo won't, we will type thing. But now it seems that Nintendo has finally gotten into the mindset of, you know, maybe we will now. And I do think that you're absolutely right. I think we need to get the Thousand Year Door to 5 million if we possibly can, if we want to see more Mario RPGs, because when Nintendo has taken the plumber into a very kind of methodical, very deliberate RPG landscape, the results have been, I mean, pretty classic. And the remakes that we've gotten just over the past 12 to 24 months have been evidence of that, I think. And could they even be thinking about making a new one? Could they be thinking about making a new Paper Mario? Because as we all know, and as we've said many times on this show before, Paper Mario does really seem like the kind of franchise where Nintendo does go to try weird and interesting new RPG adjacent ideas.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to determine is, like, is it just the vocal minority? Like, is the people who are wanting old school, you know, Mario RPG stuff, is this just the vocal minority? Origami King did well, too, despite the fact that people, you know, complain about Origami King. It still sold well. So I wonder, like I wonder if that's also something they're looking at.
I can't imagine it would be a vocal minority thing, considering how narrow they sent the survey to. If they were worried about it being a vocal minority thing, I would have think they would have just literally sent it to Earth, just everybody with an email account, just to try to gauge, you know, just how, you know, how big that vocal minority may have been.
It's hard sending to say.
Sending it to just a few people makes me think that it was specifically targeted and that they're looking for specific input.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. I'm just curious, like targeted to who? Because nobody's played more Mario RPGs in a congested period of time recently than me. Like, I'm playing Paper Mario 64. I'm playing Mario and Luigi on NSO. Like, I'm playing Mario RPG. Like, so, you know, who are you targeting?
Send the man a survey. Actually, send us both a survey, Nintendo. Yeah. That would be helpful.
Who are you targeting? Because it ain't me. So, you know, anyways, this is nice to see. And I like, I like the notion that Nintendo is, like, thinking about this stuff, you know, in a real way. And I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Mario RPGs are kind of on the upswing, ready to make a real comeback. And yeah, I want a new thing. I want, like, as great as remakes and remasters are, I do want, like, when I was playing Mario RPG, I was like, man, like, I'd be down for a straight up sequel to this, like an actual Mario RPG 2. I'd be into that. I'd be way into that.
Yeah.
So
I would too. I mean, especially now that Nintendo and Square Enix's relationship seems to have basically fully healed. By the way, that tattoo looks amazing, Seth, on camera.
Thanks.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Seth recently got his first tattoo. It's a Dragon Quest slime, a little bit of a tribute to Akira Toriyama. I love it, man. It looks great.
Thanks. I like it too.
But yeah, really super excited. I hope this means great things for the future of Mario RPGs, because I mean, Mario RPGs have just been an exciting space recently. We loved Mario RPG. We're really excited for the Thousand Year Door remake, and we would certainly love to see something follow up on that. Nintendo, so send us a few surveys and maybe we can help you out with that. But, you know, don't want to put our tinfoil hats on too tightly, you know, don't want to just assume that a new Mario RPG is basically three-fourths of the way through development because Nintendo is putting this survey up. Don't want to put our tinfoil hats on too tightly. And I say that because we're about to talk about Hollow Knight and Silk Song.
Just a real quick thing here, because, you know, I felt like it was worth mentioning because so many people are freaking out about this. We have been... Hollow Knight Silk Song is now this, you know, legendary thing. It's been, it was playable like 5 years ago, and people have been waiting on this for forever. And this past week, it's kind of gotten, you know, dredged up again a little bit because on April Fool's Day, Xbox had a brand new fresh listing for Hollow Knight Silk Song on their storefront, which had an ESRB rating attached to it. And it is not usual that something is rated by the ESRB unless it is pretty close to coming out. Like, it needs to be like fully playable to be reviewed by the ESRB. Yeah. So there's maybe some, and then like in addition to that, I think it was rated in like South Korea or something like that too, just in this past week. So a lot of people are like, maybe it's finally time. Maybe it's finally happening. So who knows?
The most famous Phantom game of all time. I'm sure it's going to be amazing when it eventually, you know, comes out and our grandchildren can enjoy it. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not here to like, I have no clue when this thing is going to come out. You know, it's a fool's errand to try to speculate at this point. But I mean, we are coming up on, we're here in April. We are coming up on some of the June stuff. Ubisoft is already talking about Ubisoft Forward. Summer yep. Game Fest is like just like 2 months away now. So maybe they're ramping up for some kind of summer thing. Who knows?
I don't know. But at this point, I mean, with as legendary as you mentioned, as legendary as Hollow Knight Silk Song has become for not releasing,
how
do you release it in any way other than a shadow drop, really? Like, I've got to imagine that is absolutely going to be the case. Like, there's going to be no buildup, no whatsoever, just a brand new trailer. By the way, it's available. Meow.
They can get away with it. They can absolutely get away with it. The only thing is like, that it almost has to be a one more thing.
It's absolutely going to be a one more thing.
In whatever showcase it is, it kind of has to be a one more thing for two reasons. A, because that's just a really hype one more thing. But also, like, if you drop it in the middle of your show, people are going to stop watching your show. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go get Hollow Knight. You know?
I don't know what happened in the last 45 minutes of that presentation. I was playing Silk Song, guys.
Right, yeah. Or, like, people's mind will be blown and they lose focus on whatever you're talking about next. So, yeah, I'll be interested. Again, I'm not trying to throw any speculation out there, but it seems like things are maybe lining up. Maybe finally, possibly lining up. We've all got our palettes of clown makeup just off to the side. Who knows? But still, people are excited. So very cool.
We'll get that in Banjo 3 in the same presentation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Eric, let's talk about a game coming soon that you're excited about. Endless Ocean Luminous. We got some brand new info. They launched the Japanese website for the game this week, and our friend at Tokyo Game Life, Mono, has translated some of the stuff they talk about on the website and kind of, you know, condensed it into a tweet here, attaching a couple of the screenshots from the website. And it's kind of just like, you know, it's nothing like mind-blowing necessarily, but I did just want to highlight that, like, you know, I feel like this game is not really getting a lot of fanfare. We knew this was going to be a bit of a niche, you know, release.
Yeah, absolutely.
But still, it's pretty exciting to see some of this stuff.
I really loved it. Ironically enough, I actually got it as a gift for somebody else when it initially came out. I was trying to get my parents, as a matter of fact, into video games, and Endless Ocean, Forever Blue, whatever you want to call it, was just this perfectly laid back, really chill. I mean, you could easily call it cozy, really interesting little diving sim. There wasn't any, you know, huge stakes involved. There wasn't this massive plot to save the world. It was just you going out in the water and diving through these gorgeous, for the time, environments and interacting with the different sea life and the different, you know, the coral and all the different interesting things that you could find. And I wound up becoming really enraptured by this game. And the biggest thing, the biggest knock against the game is just, even back on the Wii, and as much as I enjoyed playing it, I just knew that the Wii didn't remotely allow for what the developers of the game really wanted to do in terms of the skies and scope of the title. And we got a follow-up, of course, but now here in 2024, we're getting a third game, Endless Ocean Luminous. And yeah, sure enough, at least 578 creatures to interact with. Still don't know how big the map is going to be, but I imagine it's going to be fairly expansive. And, you know, you can see if you're watching here on the video, Mono has kind of bullet pointed a lot of the big takeaways from the website. You can share seeds with other players so they can explore specific ocean layouts, diver customizations, which they kind of touched on already, special online challenges. I don't know exactly what that's going to be. Maybe you've got to find like a couple special goldfish within a certain map within a certain amount of time. But yeah, as you can see here, Seth has a lot of the different palettes brought up for the divers, a lot of the different color options. You can take selfies with fish. I'm sure there's going to be a very robust camera mode within this game. And I mean, it looks like it is just kind of doing everything it needed to do. I do wonder whether or not it's going to have like any real type of mission mode, any real type of scenario or narrative, or if it's just going to be, hey, here is the biggest ocean we could create with the most, with this vast array of, you know, different wildlife, different sea creatures and different things that you could find. I wonder if it's just going to be that and just say, go have fun. Because even if it's that, I'm kind of there, because even with the small scope of the Wii version of the game, there were still so many cool things that they were able to pack into the title. They had this underwater shipwreck, like this pirate shipwreck that you could explore. They actually had the abyss, the deep sea, which is still to this day genuinely one of the scariest areas in a video game that I've ever played, despite the fact you can't even take damage in the first Endless Ocean. But I mean, I love that Nintendo is doing this. You typically only see stuff like this from like BBC Earth when it comes to video game simulators, and what they're able to do now with the technology they have at their disposal makes me really excited. I know that we've only gotten just kind of a few tidbits, just a, you know, like little chips of the iceberg about what this game is going to really have to offer players, but I'm still like, I'm unreasonably excited for this game, if you guys can't tell.
Yeah, it's less than a month out at this point. It comes out May 2nd. And it's cool because they sort of implied in the initial reveal of the game that it's going to have a little bit of a procedural generation to the map layout and stuff. So it's neat that you can actually get like seeds for specific map layouts, which is cool. And I think that's going to be a neat addition. They show in some of the content here, you have like ranks, that you can, level up, play online with your friends and stuff. And, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's gonna be pretty cool. Lockless here in the chat.
Are we talking about cool and scary ocean game? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Talking about I love that. Endless Ocean. You're going to have to play with us online when it comes out next month, Lockleth.
Yeah, they have on the website, you can see, like, you talk about the abyss and, like, you can see, like, some of the scary, like, primordial, like, monsters that are going to be in this game. So, it's going to be cool. I don't know. It seems like there's going to be a lot of content. The game's also not full price. It's $49.99. So, I'm hopeful that, like, this is going to find a market, you know, like I'm hopeful that this is going to have something there. I am with you. I'm curious to see if there's going to be any kind of like single player kind of like focused content in there beyond just let's go into the sea alone and take pictures or whatever. Yeah. But
if it gives we'll see. Literally any objectives whatsoever.
Right.
But I mean, regardless, this is still going to be, it's an Endless Ocean game. This is not, you know, a new Super Mario Brothers platformer. This is going to have a fairly narrow demographic. But,
sure,
you know, for anybody looking for a cozy game, for anybody looking for a unique experience, for anybody looking to see something genuinely beautiful, while I haven't played the game. Like, that's specifically what Endless Ocean is supposed to offer players, is just this kind of candidly beautiful experience. Like, really is kind of the ultimate escape game, yeah. Really. So one of the big reasons I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun to, you know, link up with community members and just go on little dives together. You can have a ton of people just playing at once.
Just to be able to say, it's like, guys, come over here. I found something. You know?
Yeah, it's going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. All right.
I'm going to get so into like shiny hunting and stuff like that.
Oh,
guys,
yeah.
I found a special clownfish. Guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be neat, man. I wanted to flag this little story real quick. Just a little headline here about Nintendo patents. Now, not something we cover very often on the show, but this is kind of a neat one. You know, Nintendo files patents all the time, just like any company that creates things. They're always filing patents. And this might not ever see the light of day, but I hope it does, because this is pretty rad. This is a patent that Nintendo has filed for a rotating cable management sort of deck within the Switch's dock, which is like this kind of, anybody who's ever, you know, messed with the cables inside of your Switch, you know, it's kind of locked in place. You have to kind of finagle, you know, and get it to go underneath that slot that clamps onto the back. Yeah. So the idea of having this rotating thing to where I can plug in wherever I want to is really neat.
Yeah. Really interesting that they're this concerned about the Switch dock design so deep into the Switch's lifespan. So this definitely intrigued me specifically for that. This doesn't necessarily scream to me a company that is all hands on deck for the next piece of hardware that's coming out. This screams to me a company that is still very invested in the cultural juggernaut that it unleashed upon us 8 years ago. So I know we're still getting new hardware sooner rather than later, but it does make me happy that Nintendo is still trying to give us, in some ways at least, a continually better experience with the Nintendo Switch. You know, still should have given us themes at some point, but, you know, I digress.
Well, and it probably also, I mean, at least somewhat implies that whatever the follow-up is going to be is probably still going to be a dockable thing that might make use of this, if this comes to light at all. I mean, they have got, you know, thousands of patents for things that have not come to light. So who knows? We may never see the light of day here. But it is telling, I think, that they're still thinking about a Switch dock at all. So who knows? We'll see. I just wanted to flag it real quick. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So
wonder if that'll be standard issue with new Switch sales, or whether that'll be something special that you have to buy on the side. Or maybe, you know, like you were alluding to, maybe that will just be the Switch 2's dock. Maybe right. That's just going to be the standard dock for whatever this, the successor for the Nintendo Switch is. Because, I mean, at this point, the precedent kind of set by the Nintendo Switch as the perfect handheld console hybrid, and that doesn't seem like Nintendo would actively want to move away from that. It's like, yeah, we gave you the perfect way to game both at home on the go, but for this one, we're going to forget completely about handheld gaming.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if that were the case. So who knows? We'll see what happens, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it's neat. It was a neat little thing to flag. This is a little bit of news that broke just earlier today. Mm-hmm. New Splatfest, or should I say Springfest,
Coming. And the cutest Splatfest of all time. Literally just a battle of cuteness. It's spring. This is the actual post. Which fuzzy fluffiness do you like most? Baby chicks, little bunnies, not even little bunnies, little bunnies, or bear cubs. And this is the most daw Splatfest like ever. But
pretty cute.
It is pretty cute. And I've got, I just feel like the bear cubs are really kind of the outlier here. This has been doing, they're doing this for spring, for Easter. And, you know, you see the baby chicks all the time. You see the little bunnies all the time. You don't really see too many bear cubs in North American Easter celebrations. But I wonder if that's going to make it kind of the odd man out in the way that most people gravitate toward it, or I don't know. Regardless, I still think I'm Team Bunny here, but I kind of love how they're just absolutely leaning into the baby cuteness of spring.
Here's the thing. There is the thing about this is when you don't want to mess with bear cubs, period. Like it is probably the stupidest thing you could do. If you see a bear cub in the wild, you should go the other way. You do not, because that means that a mother bear is not far behind.
Yes, but that's not the question, Seth.
I know, but I'm saying that there is a inherent terror that should be within your heart when it comes to bear cubs, especially within the context of Splatoon 3. So
that's fair. That's fair.
I'm just saying that there is a little bit of precedent here. And Lachlan here points out that she's torn. Baby chicks and bunnies are super cute. It's hard for me if I played Splatoon. I don't know that I'm going to play this Splatfest, so I don't know if I really. But for me, yeah, I would probably go little bunnies. Bunnies are just cute. It's also, I like the kind of pink, you know, motif, but it does, you can tell they're kind of going for an Easter, you know, thing here.
Yeah. Especially with the pastel colors that they're using for the Splatfest and
Yeah. Who knows? I'll be interested to see who comes out on top, on this one though. I will say, quick note, and the internet has already kind of latched onto this, and I feel like this is going to inform who actually wins this. They're making the comparisons to the Five Nights at Freddy's characters. So you've got Chica, Bonnie, and Freddy Fazbear.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are kind of latching onto that, and it's not.
You can't have nice things.
This is just how the internet is. They just always find a way to ruin a Splatfest and vote on something based on something completely superlative to the Splatfest itself, you know.
Which fuzzy fluffiness do you like most? But what if it were horror?
But let's actually just talk about Five Nights at Freddy's, you know. So, I mean, hey, whatever. You do you. I will say, as a quick PSA for Springfest, something you can do. It's already live. I already got mine. You can hop in there. If you look on your news channel, if you're a Splatoon 3 player, you'll have the news tab for Splatoon 3. And you can grab a bunch of Springfest gear already in the game. You got to go into the news tab. You got to hit the little link in there and launch the game from within the news tab, and you can get some Springfest gear. So
I need Splatoon to release like a clothing catalog, a hard print clothing catalog. That's just a collection of all of these different outfit advertisements that they've had for Splatoon across the years, because they all just look like catalog photos you'd see in an old JCPenney or Sears or TJ Maxx catalog or something like that.
Yeah, you can get this cool like kind of Easter themed banner as well. So it's neat. I always like it when they do this. It's cool that that's in there, you know, for fans. They also kind of pointed out that, you know, the idol groups will be dressed up for the occasion. So you've got Deep Cut here kind of in some spring get up with, you know, some flowers. Get up,
yeah.
Yeah, she's got, you know, all kinds of stuff going on here. Cute pastel colors and stuff. All of the idol groups.
Yep.
We'll be doing this. So Callie and Marie have got their own outfit sets as well, you know, and I don't want to go too much further than that. It might be some side order spoilers if I do that. But
I don't know. Marina's got some drip, that's all I'm saying.
But yes. Very, very cool. So Springfest, it's coming. I don't know if we said the date. It's I believe from the 19th that weekend. So please be excited. Yeah, from the 19th to the 21st. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Team Little Bunny. Cool.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. If I don't know that I'm going to play it, but I think I'm with you on that. Team Little Bunny.
I know what Anastasia is going to say. I know what your wife's going to say. Like, they should have had little rhinos.
very appropriately Easter themed rhinos. Couple quick PSAs here. So first of all, speaking of kind of events going on right now, a new Princess Peach Showtime themed Tetris 99 Maximus Cup is taking place this weekend. So you can get in, get your Princess Peach Showtime themed, stuff going on there with the Maximus Cup. So quick PSA, if you're a Tetris 99 player, get in there and do that. So I don't know. Yeah, cool. A little PSA there. Another quick PSA.
Still supporting Tetris 99. Good for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still supporting it. Another quick little PSA. This is your final weekend to play online Wii U and 3DS games. Service does end in just a few days, April 8th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. You will no longer be able to play online Wii U and 3DS games. So get in your Triforce Heroes playthroughs this weekend.
I will say, leading up to this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, and that was the Mario Maker 1 community coming together to basically beat Mario Maker 1. That was so cool to see. There's a Mario Maker 2, or a Mario Maker content creator that I follow called DGR, and they're still so, like, just such a wealth of creativity in those games. I really wish Nintendo continued to support them, just because the people that make content for those games, not even just the videos, but the actual levels themselves, are so incredibly creative and so ridiculously creative. If Nintendo were smart, they would license a few of these creators and be like, we're just going to release official, like, we're just going to release worlds of your levels as official Nintendo releases, as like mini sub games or something. But to see the Mario Maker 1 community come together to finish, to make sure that no Mario Maker 1 levels were left uncleared when the online went away on April 8th was just really cool, really heartwarming to see. People coming out of retirement to beat all these levels. So slow clap, ladies and gentlemen. Slow clap, ladies and gentlemen. Well done.
There was there was like one uncleared level, but then the guy who made it like admitted that they used a TAS to complete it. So it was like invalidated. So yeah, they've been able to do it. So, you know, kudos to them. And I've seen a lot of people to that point. A lot of people being like, let's all play Splatoon Wii U one last time this weekend, you know? So kind of heartwarming. I might jump into like a little online round of Kid Icarus or something this weekend.
I'm sure you're going to see like a lot of, you know, the world is ending parties, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's actually going to be kind of, I'll be following that, seeing if there's any, you know, anything out there. Unfortunately, I don't have my Wii U anymore, but I do have my 3DS, and maybe I could jump into some Triforce Heroes. Maybe I could jump into some online shenanigans somewhere, maybe some online Smash 4 matches or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of, you know, kind of just a last hurrah, you know, kind of fun. So a couple little PSAs there. But Eric, let's hit some notable releases before we say goodnight on this week's news roundup.
Very, very quickly, I just want to hit far and away the largest headline of this week. A massive story that's going to send shockwaves throughout the industry forever. And that was, of course, the fact that RetroSoft announced five new wrestlers coming to Retromania.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they teased it last week, but the game that I genuinely thought was done, Retromania, did in fact announce five new wrestlers coming at some point down the line as paid DLC. Classic tag teams, Axe and Smash, Demolition, and the Rock and Roll Express are being added, in addition to NWA legend Magnum TA. So for the two or three of you out there that are also massive wrestling nerds like I am, Retromania is not done yet. They are not done yet. And as a matter of fact, they did confirm that once, I don't know if this is going to be all of the DLC, but they did confirm that their physical edition through Limited Run will wind up being released following all of the DLC coming out. So
okay.
So five new legendary wrestlers coming to the game, new updates on the physical edition. I'm happy. So it's just, I just wanted to say that real quick. I'm happy.
Nice. Very good. Cool. Well, all right. Well, yeah, let's hit some notable releases real quick then. I think probably the biggest one this week is that Freedom Planet 2.
Yes.
Is now out on Switch. So this people are excited.
This one kind of crept back up on me. I was so worried about a bunch of other things. This one really kind of slipped past me for a while, and then all of a sudden it's out, and I haven't been able to play it myself. I will remedy that as soon as possible, but some of the early reactions to this game are pretty superlative. So I'm really excited to jump into this one. I absolutely adored the first Freedom Planet. It was like the perfect mix of Sonic and Ristar, two games that I absolutely adore, and I'm very excited to jump into this sequel.
Yeah, I'd like to play it too. I enjoyed the first one as well. I don't know if I'm quite as hot on it as some others are, but I still enjoyed it enough to where like I want to play this. Yeah. I've got it wishlisted. We'll see when I get to it. I've got other stuff to do, but yeah, this looks really good. It's been out on Steam for a little while, and from everything I've heard, this is just kind of a uniform improvement over the first game. So it's definitely going to be worth your time and attention. If you're into Sonic, it really comes very highly recommended, the first game and evidently the second one. So
yeah, we did an indie showcase on the first one a while back, and yeah, this is definitely going, especially when it comes to indie games, this is very high up my queue.
Yeah. Very cool. So that is now finally on Switch. Want to shout out this game, Saviorless, that also came out this week. This is kind of an interesting looking game where you play as between two protagonists. One of them is kind of a pacifist kind of mode. This like young girl who's going through this kind of Metroidvania. It's kind of this interesting looking like hand-drawn art like style.
A dark version of Gris or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And yeah, like you play as her and she's like the savior type or whatever. She's the one that's going through in a non-violent way. But then I don't know if they're going to show it. There's the sort of like other character that you can play as. Yeah, here we go. The destroyer they're about to show. That is like the polar opposite of that, where it's just like bust up everything, destroy everything, play it as kind of a more traditional, like combat focused Metroidvania. So looks kind of neat. I wishlisted it. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't mind playing it at some point. Kind of interesting looking.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't aware of it, but that does look pretty cool. And you know, the dichotomy of one being more stealth and more pacifist focused and the other one just letting you basically tear into anything that moves, that could be, if they find the right balance, that could be a really special game. But I almost worry about how fun the combat is going to be in that game, because I've seen games like that where, like, I think Spider-Man is a good example, like the Mary Jane sections where everybody just wants those to be over so they can get back to punching things as Spider-Man. Sure. So I hope that this game was able to find the nice balance with the combat and non-combat focused mechanisms within the game. They were able to make the savior gameplay just as fun.
Yeah, I've not really heard anything about the game yet, to be honest, but it did just look kind of neat. I want to shout out this game, Puzzmix. This is from Inti Creates. This is a new Gunvolt game, technically. This is taking place in the Gunvolt lore, and it's a Suika game clone, is what this is. This is, I'm not up on my Gunvolt, my Azure Striker lore, but you're playing as this character who I guess is like this kind of idol character that is a companion of one of the playable characters in Gunvolt 2. And yeah, it's a Suika game clone. I bought it. I played it a little bit. It's okay. You know, like it is what it looks like. It is a Suika game clone. I will say this game does two things that are an improvement over the Suika game formula. First of all, there's more than one song. For the love of God. In fact, the main unlockable of the game is actually more songs. There's probably, I think they show it at some point in this trailer, there are several, probably like 20 songs or so that you can unlock that are all kind of like J-pop, you know, Hatsune Miku-esque, you know, sort of songs. And it's good. It's cute. The other thing, yeah, here we go. We got a bunch of songs here that you can unlock.
That is indeed more than one.
So already a huge improvement. And you can switch in the middle of gameplay. You can just hit one of the shoulder buttons and it'll swap between the songs, which is great. Another thing that it does better than Suika game for my money is when you knock something out of the top in Suika game, it's game over if that happens. In this game, it actually just starts a 5-second countdown. And if things happen, if you can actually save it, if things happen to rearrange, you know, you can actually kind of save yourself from a game over. So that is kind of nice. But if you look here, like the little Luna orbs or whatever they're called, they're so strangely shaped. And the physics are kind of weird because of it. So it's not, to me, it's not quite Suika game good, but it does do some things better than Suika game. So, I'll shout out that's basically this game's version of the watermelon, this big, like dark orb. And I got it on my first run, so your Suica game skills will carry over into Puzzmix. Sure. You know, so kind of neat.
It's so weird that a studio like Inti Creates is even getting in on the Suica game madness here.
Can't blame them, dude. Can't blame them one bit.
Really can't.
It's successful. And it's cheap, too. It's like $3. So, you know, you probably got enough gold coins if it's something you're interested in. Yep. Last one I wanted to shout out here. This is a really neat little game called What They Don't See, S-E-A. And this is a pixel art sort of undersea Metroidvania. And this is really neat because this is actually a product of the Girls Make Games initiative, which is a fund that was created, I think, back in 2019, where it's basically like a 3-week game jam, and young girls between the ages of like 10 and 18, I think, made games. And it was submitted to like a panel of judges. They chose the winner and gave them, I think, $40,000 to go ahead and make, you know, the rest of their game, basically. And this is the result of that. What They Don't See. This kind of cute pixel art, you know, undersea Metroidvania made by, you know, like women in middle school, which is kind of cool. It's, you know, it's kind of a neat idea. I haven't played the game. I don't know what the game is like. But just watching the trailer, it looks kind of fun, and I love the initiative behind it. So, yeah, might have to give this a look. And I think it's inexpensive as well. I added it to my wish list. I might have to check it out.
So. Nice. Well, there is actually one game that I want to shout out that was just released today on the Nintendo Switch and Game Boy, as a matter of fact. Kudzu.
Okay.
Kudzu. Kudzu was just released. Developer Chris Totten, who's also currently developing one of the Little Nemo games that is in development. There's a couple Little Nemo games in development. But yeah, here we have Kudzu, a kind of Link's Awakening, like Game Boy inspired top-down adventure title, where something is growing wild in the fields, as you can see there. The Nintendo Shop e-listing says, "The garden plot thickens. Take control of Max, a serious go-getter and the best student to Master Gardener Zoan, who has just gone missing in the Kudzu Labyrinth. The wisdom that Zoan imparted on Max will be put to the test as you use your wits and gardening tools, a machete, a rake, a garden hoe, and others, to navigate the vines." So this is like Plants versus Zombies versus Link's Awakening, I guess. But similarly to Freedom Planet, some of the early reactions to this game have been very, very positive, and I actually am really excited to check this one out myself.
Nice. Yeah, this looks neat. I'd play this. There was a game that was kind of like this. What's it called? That like Chica and the Magic Orchard or whatever. I played it on stream. I played like through the whole thing on stream, and it was kind of in this vibe, this kind of like Game Boy accurate, you know, sort of thing. And we're starting to see some more games like that. So yeah, it looks cool. I'd play that.
Yeah. So check out Kudzu, available now on the Nintendo Switch eShop, especially if you're a fan of old throwback Game Boy games like I am. It's been a while since I played something like, you know, Save Me, Mr. Taco, so I might have to jump into that. And it's $5. It's $4.99.
That's cool. Yeah, that's good. Nice and cheap.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very good.
But guys, that's it for this week's notable releases. We'd love to know what you guys are up to this weekend, what you guys are playing. Make sure to reach out to us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Podcast. Make sure to follow us in the Discord. As Seth said, if you want to be part of episode 200 next week, jump into that Discord, you know, follow the instructions, and then, you know, come for the episode 200 hangs, stay for the casual hangs, because we have an amazing, a genuinely amazing Discord community. We are so grateful and lucky to have, and we would love for you to be a part of it. But in addition to that, if you're following us here on, if you're watching us currently on YouTube right now, before you go, do me a favor and make sure to like, subscribe, click the bell for notifications so you never miss another video from us here at All In, of which we post quite a few. I have my own weekly series called Quarter Circle Forward. We post first looks of new and upcoming indie games and even big budget games all the time. We've always got new content going up, so make sure you follow us on YouTube as well, especially if you're watching us over on Twitter. Take a few seconds to head over on YouTube to do all that stuff I just said. But in addition to all of the content that we create, we got a brand new episode of All In dropping tomorrow. We get videos out the wazoo. But in addition to all of that, Seth, we even find time to create a pretty big wealth of exclusive content for those awesome patrons that we shouted out at the top of the show.
We do. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. That's the place to be. Head over there. There's three tiers of support. You can get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier and join the ranks of some lovely friends and supporters over there. Check out the exclusive content for yourself. You don't have to take our word for it. Again, merch, great way to support the show. bit.ly/allinmerch. There's links below as well. And yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, comment, that helps. And also, you know, if you listen on audio feeds, your review help as well. So 5-star ratings on your podcatcher of choice, a great way to support the show and get it in front of the people who need to hear it. And it's free, quick, easy, and free. You can't afford not to review the show, you know?
And I mean, I'm just saying it would be a really nice gift for episode 200, you guys. I'm just saying. But for anybody who has become one of those legendary patrons that we shouted out, for anybody who has dropped words on, again, whatever podcast service you listen to us on, to anybody who has picked up a piece of our merch at bit.ly/allinmerch, and anybody who has just shared our content, watched our videos, interacted with what we've created across the world these past 4 years, to honestly each and every one of you, we would just like to extend a huge springtime namaste.
Namaste, everybody. That's been the news this week. Yes, episode 200 next week on the 12th of April, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We will be back here to do that show live. And if you want to get involved, yes, head into the Discord. We have got a Google Drive link you could submit your video or audio submission to. You can email it to us, allinpodcast@hotmail.com, or just DM me. And you'll be a part of next week's show. Get that to me by the 10th, and you'll make the cut. So please be excited about that. There's going to be a lot going on next week. I'm excited too. So going to be a good show. You're not going to want to miss it. And yeah, tomorrow's episode of All In will be going live. We're back after taking last week off. We're back in the saddle, doing a little bit of catch up, talking about some of the games we've been playing over the past couple of weeks. And the rest of the episode is just a big ol' Princess Peach Showtime review discussion, really kind of celebrating a new IP, kind of getting into the weeds, chewing the fat. We've got Cheesy and Bowza, Cheesy from the Communication Era podcast and Nintendo Powercast. And of course, Bowza, one of my fellow Carpool Gaming teammates and host of the Xbox Drive, which is actually going live here on YouTube in like an hour. And yeah, they're both great. And it was great to have them on the show to talk Princess Peach show. So yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah, huge episode. You guys are not going to want to miss it. Again, that goes live in just a few hours on your podcast feeds. And again, we can't say it enough, man. Episode 200, it's going to be a big deal. You're not going to want to miss it.
That's right. That's right. But that's been the news. We'll catch everybody next time. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, folks.